Oh, it's already a good time here with the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz, Michael Wiseman. We've been laughing and joking at each other for like the last 5 minutes, so I figured I better hit record and we better start taping the podcast.
Capture the magic while it's happening.
Capture the magic. You know, it's been a hell of a day for me already. And if anybody hasn't checked out the podcast, if you're not subscribing, do so right now, because there's been some really good content this week. So earlier in the week, I had interviews with Xavier Woods and Bill Goldberg. Bill Goldberg, while he was, this is pre-loopy Goldberg from before he headbutted a door on Monday. Uh-huh. And then today I had the NXT TakeOver conference call with Triple H as he spoke with the media, including me. And yes, I did get in on there. And also, it was already a podcast put up today with three interviews that includes AJ Styles talking about the Royal Rumble coming up on Sunday. It also is Drew Galloway talking about the big 5-star wrestling show from Scotland that will be airing live on Spike TV in the UK and the explosion of the UK scene. And Charlie Ebersole, who is the creator and the director of the upcoming ESPN 30 for 30 documentary, This Was the XFL. So all of that is on that podcast.
Okay.
That I encourage everybody to check it out.
That's a lot. Also, did any of them wish you a happy birthday?
Damn you, why'd you bring that up?
It's your birthday, man. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Uh-huh. I'm an old man.
Yes, rough life. Life's getting to you, kid, huh?
It is. You know what? You should be asking me what I'm drinking tonight, but it's after this day. So, but
I will ask Atlanta, you. Are you drinking?
Yeah. It's not that bad. My God.
Some warmed up milk.
Hold on. Let me go change my dentures real quick, you know?
Pediasure? Is that what?
God.
I got to get my Pediasure and get my vitamins.
Let me go get my fiber drink here real quick. Uh-huh. My Metamucil.
Your Metamucil.
It's a good thing you're not in the room with me, or else you'd be overwhelmed by the smell of Bengay.
Do you eat that that yogurt that is advertised on TV to help keep you more regular?
Well, yeah, I do.
That lady that starred in the Halloween movies. Yes. Jamie Lee Curtis. That's her name.
God.
Ugh, rough life.
Yeah, I'm an old man. What can I say? I'm getting too old
for this stuff.
I'm going Murdoch there. I'm getting too old for this. So what are you drinking tonight?
What? Well, I'm not drinking the Mylanta or the Pediasure, but instead I am drinking the Sam Adams Winter Lager. It is warm and festive. Lager brewed with orange peel, cinnamon, and ginger.
Mmm. So gotta have the ginger.
The ginger, man. It's in all these beers. 5.6% alcohol by volume. A little bit of a lighter beer. It's a lager, but it should be pretty good here.
Nice. So crack it open.
Let's do it.
There we go.
That was a good one.
That's the sound of greatness.
Mm. Mm. That's just like my voice. The sound of greatness.
I like it. Like it. Like where we're going here. So we've got the Royal Rumble coming up on Sunday. That is going to be the focus of the podcast as we preview the big show.
Are we going to be chatting about NXT? You and I didn't even talk about NXT much.
We can preview NXT TakeOver
preview
as well.
NXT TakeOver.
We should definitely preview NXT TakeOver from San Antonio, an event that, by the way, I will be at on Saturday. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to be at the Royal Rumble on Sunday.
You could not handle it that they moved all those NXT events from Florida, all those TakeOver events. So you're now going to all of them across the nation.
I'll share this one. I won't out the person, but I found this. I found this kind of funny. So I'm going, I'm going to these shows, and obviously with WrestleMania being here in Orlando, I'll be going to those. And I actually had somebody from the WWE go, "Hey, so, let me know if you're interested in going to the Elimination Chamber." And I go, and I started thinking about going, wait a second, where's the Elimination Chamber? Is that close to Orlando or something? And looked it up. It's in Phoenix. it just works this way that I'm going to be in Texas. So I'm going a few days early so I can go to the Rumble and I go to TakeOver. I'm not like, following the WWE around like a roadie right now.
You're not Brock Lesnar guy out there every week. Right.
I would love to go out there. I've got a friend that lives in Phoenix. I'm sure I could stay with him, but I'm not going to be going to Phoenix for the Elimination Chamber.
If we ever get this BTR roadshow off the ground, dude, we can go to all of them. It's just a traveling roadshow.
It'd be awesome, And, you know, I will say this, though. There is a chance that I will be going to the Los Angeles area, more specifically Long Beach, July 1st and 2nd for the debut of New Japan Pro Wrestling in the United States.
Really?
Yes.
That's cool. How did you swing that gig?
Well, I'm just saying I'm probably going to go.
Oh, you're just going to go?
Yeah, I want to go.
Are you inviting me to go?
Well, if you would like to come, you can. Now, I have a friend there as well that has already said he will put me up in his place.
Is it, you said July 1st and 2nd?
Correct.
Will he put me up in his place as well?
He will, because he is a mutual friend, and he is somebody that you just faced in a fantasy football league.
Did I beat him? Probably not, because I lost to everybody in that damn league.
I don't know what the standings were.
I was cheated out of it. And if you say his name is Will Pruitt, I want it to be known that I beat him in the second game, and I should have gone into the playoffs, but through a minor loophole where he had more points, even though I had better points the next week than him when I wasn't in the playoffs, I should have been in the playoffs in that league.
Michael, the name of the person who has agreed to let me stay with him, if in fact I come to Los Angeles, is Will Pruitt.
I tell you what, you better not stay with him. And actually, you know what? Let me go stay with him. Let me go over there. I want to give that .NET hack a piece of my mind in person.
Will is a good friend, especially because a couple of years ago, one of the first time that I met him, I was hanging out with him and a couple of other people. We went to an ice cream sandwich store, like fresh cookies, ice cream. They make it all fresh for you. And I bought him an ice cream sandwich.
Oh, my God. I was there.
That's right. You were there, and I bought you a sandwich, too.
Oh, you remember that you were there with Will.NET Hack Pruitt, but you forget that I was there?
For some reason, I was thinking you weren't there.
Brian Fritz, my lord, son,
I'm getting old, man. I can't remember everything. I'm getting
too old to remember my friends I'm talking to right now that I talk to every week.
I'm just an old man. I can't remember everything. I can't help it. I went to the store and... You know, these batteries that are on the shelf are suddenly in my pocket. I can't remember.
Oh, I feel like your impression is a little bit racially charged. I don't like the implication.
My old man came off as something else.
That's a little bit. Good times, though.
That was pretty bad.
God, so not only do you forget that I bought Will Pruitt an ice cream sandwich. I freaking stayed with you that week at Mania.
Yeah, you did.
Uh-huh. And not only that, what was up with the Rumble pool this year? What was up with that? You drew me the worst freaking numbers in the world.
We did them. So myself and Pedro did the drawing the other night, which was on Facebook Live. He had the idea, even though he's not on Facebook, he goes, "You should Facebook Live this, man." And I was like, okay, sure. And so we thought it was going to be like, you know, 5-7 minutes. It's this 20-minute broadcast.
It was pretty long.
Stupid. So long. And so like we pick... There's 10 people in our Rumble pool. So we like picking the names of the people in the order in which the drawing is going to be. And then we're going through and we're doing the drawing.
Also, why was your system so convoluted? You like drew names for the order. You went through and like picked out different names, right? Right. Yeah. And then you go through and draw them one at a time. Why didn't you just draw numbers randomly? Why did you have like this 20-step process?
Well, we did draw them randomly, but we did them all in order. Like we went 1 through 10, then 1 through 10, then 1 through 10. It wasn't like we drew three numbers at a time and say, here's your three, here's your three. We're trying to be fair to the process. And in turn, somehow, Pedro got numbers 28, 29, and 30, which was a ridiculous thing.
Pedro's a mutual friend of ours. He's been with us at Mania a few times, helped us film some stuff.
Right.
If you listen to the podcast.
And he's not even Hispanic, but his nickname is Pedro. But it's because of his last name.
I feel like you're not helping your race creed at all right now. I feel like you're not. This is just not working out very well for
you. That's true. Man, why did I say that?
Maybe we should just talk about the stuff this week.
Yeah, maybe I should keep it that. By the way, did I tell everybody that we've got more content coming to Between the Ropes in the coming weeks following the Royal Rumble?
You have not told them. What kind of content, Brian Fritz?
Fun content that you will enjoy.
New logo. We got a new logo, right? I've heard that's in the works.
We got a new logo. Uh-huh. We've been talking about doing videos, so we plan on doing some more videos, some more stuff with the website, and
bringing question and answers back, huh? What about that?
Yeah, a little Q&A. Look, you know, we'll be a little bit more interactive with some people. So
I've pitched some podcast ideas. Maybe we'll do some stuff that's not necessarily wrestling directly related.
Yeah. So everybody can look forward to that. That's going to be coming after the Royal Rumble. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And if anybody has any ideas of what they would like to see, please feel free to reach out to myself or to Michael. You can always find me on Twitter. I'm at Brian Fritz. Michael is at The Real Wiseman. If you'd like, you can just email me as well. It's btrfritz@gmail.com. And we're always open to any ideas, suggestions that you may have.
Can I just say one more thing? I know I diverted us there, but I did not. So I have a confession, Brian. You made that nice long 20-minute video with the Royal Rumble picks.
It was ridiculous. I know. Yeah.
Do-si-do, and I did not watch the whole video. Okay. I just skipped around and found my numbers and left. And I was like, grumble, grumble, Brian Fritz. My wife did watch the whole video and she found it hugely entertaining. So even though she wasn't in the pool, I just want you to know you did a good job, Brian. You did a very good job.
I appreciate that. Yes.
You deserve it.
We were trying to have a little bit of fun with it. And I was hungry. We were both like starving hungry. We hadn't eaten all day. I mean, we're taping this. It's like 7:30 at night. We hadn't even ordered food yet. And we decided to wait until we got done with the video. And we're like, okay, fools. This took 20 minutes. In the meantime, we ordered food then because we're too lazy to go out and grab something. And it took like another 30 or 40 minutes for food to arrive. So it was just great timing that, and we did this long video for Facebook Live where we all got crappy numbers except for Pedro. Everybody complained about their numbers, and rightfully so. Uh-huh. But there's a big $100 on the line, so it's important stuff.
$100. I owe you $10, don't I?
No, well, not yet. You could be the winner.
Okay. And
if you win, then you don't have to worry about giving me money, but you're probably going to lose.
Don't I give myself $10?
You can give yourself $10 the case.
That's right.
So there was some breaking news earlier today. We mentioned New Japan. So Kenny Omega did an interview with the Wrestling Observer website. And in the interview, he said, I am not going to appear at the Royal Rumble. And also, I am heading back to Japan where I am planning on negotiating a new deal with them. And the plan is I am going to remain with New Japan Pro Wrestling for another year. He says he has not signed a contract yet. He is going back to Japan next month. He'll negotiate the deal, but for all intents and purposes, the plan is, and New Japan is very open to this as well, he will remain in New Japan for another year and will not be coming to the WWE.
Could this be a swerve?
No. And I mean, he said, he goes, hey, I don't want to swerve anybody. I don't want to mislead anybody. That's why I'm telling you, I will not be at the Rumble on Sunday. I don't want anybody thinking that. And while I haven't signed the contract yet, the plan is to sign with New Japan. He says there's a slight crevice or maybe something at the last second would, you know, make that not happen. But he says, I do not expect that at all. And Kenny's pretty upfront about this stuff. I don't think he wants to mislead anybody. So unless something drastic happens with New Japan, he is going back.
Could this still be a swerve? Isn't this something somebody swerving you would say? They would say, this is not a swerve. I'll not be at the Rumble on Sunday. Wink, wink, wink.
Well, he has a match in Chile.
Okay.
So it would be a very long flight. It's not impossible, but very long. And I think Kenny is trying to be as honest about the situation as possible because he doesn't want to disappoint people. And he even said, he goes, hey, no matter where I go, I'm going to disappoint some people. And, but he doesn't want there to be expectations from some people going, I'm going to be on the lookout. Kenny Omega might be in the Rumble. And then they're all disappointed when he's not there. So I take him at his word.
Okay. Fair enough. I get it. Going to New Japan seems like the smart career move for him at this point. Totally makes sense. He's been making a name for himself over there. He's got more room to grow, I still think. But he's already done so much. The prospect of him coming to WWE this year, especially after the phenomenal year, that AJ Styles just had, was such a tantalizing prospect that I have to say I'm disappointed by this development.
I understand why he's staying. I think he feels like there's unfinished business. He's had some success over there, and he wants to help them grow in other markets. I think he one of the main reasons why he wants to be there is because New Japan's trying to expand to the United States with those two shows in July. And I think he really wants to be a part of those shows. He did say that he is also hoping, planning to be a part of some more Ring of Honor shows this coming year.
Okay.
And if the schedule allows it, he is hoping to be at Battle of Los Angeles for PWG.
Well, and that's all well and good, but it's not the Royal Rumble.
It's not the Royal Rumble. It's not WWE. Not the Royal Rumble. I think that this was a good thing for him from the standpoint that I don't know how much he spoke with WWE. I'm assuming that they had some conversations. I think it would be a good opportunity, if that was the case, for him to talk to the company to get a feel on what they would offer him, not only from a contract, but also creative ideas that they may have for him, what they thought they would have in him if he were to join the company. And it just kind of gives him a good gauge on, okay, I'm not going now, but what if I go in a year from now? Okay, I feel like, you know, I like what they said at the time. And maybe it would make him a little bit more open to it, or saying, you know what, let me do this for another year and then I will come over. And he's opened the door to a relationship there. And that way they can kind of understand each other if they are to negotiate again. And he is seriously considering on going to WWE in the near future.
Well, that's his choice. I get it. As a fan, I'm disappointed, but I think he's going to do fantastic. And I look forward to seeing him in the Royal Rumble in 2018.
And he could be on that show.
2018.
Before we get to the Rumble, let's talk about a couple of notable things from WWE television from this past week. So Seth Rollins is now out of the Rumble. Sami Zayn is in. So Stephanie McMahon made this match, and they had a phenomenal match on Raw. And the whole gist of it was, if Seth loses, he's out and Sami is in. And, you know, late in the match, Triple H's music played. Nobody came out. It distracted Seth, and Sami was able to pin him and get the win.
Such a fantastic match, dude. Sami Zayn came out to zero reaction. I mean, he was coming down, his music was playing, he was jazzed up, and you could just tell the fans were just sitting on their hands. Even when he got up to the ringside, up to the apron, and he was trying to pump them up, the fans were like, we don't care. But by the end of that match, they were so into it, they were so behind Sami Zayn. It told a great story. And I think it helped reestablish Sami Zayn, a guy who's kind of lost his spot on the roster as the Raw brand has rolled on. He had that feud with Braun Strowman. So I love the fact that they gave Sami Zayn something meaningful to do here. And I love the fact that he came out and had an amazing match with Seth Rollins. It's one of the best matches I've seen so far this year, excluding, of course, the fantastic stuff that happened. Well, I guess New Japan was last year. So anyway, I think this was one of the best matches I've seen in 2017 so far. And just an amazing, amazing match. And I'm glad it helped reestablish Sami Zayn, gave him something to do.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because right now when it comes to Sami, I mean, he was doing like this weird Woody Allen impression or whatever it is over the last couple of weeks. And he's been underutilized. I mean, he's been doing some stuff with Braun Strowman. So it was great to see him go out there and be able to give that opportunity to have kind of a blowaway match with somebody like Seth. So, you know, and now he's going to be in the Rumble, and we'll see exactly what they do with him beyond that. As for Seth, I don't know what he's going to do at the Rumble. I expect to see him on the show, and maybe he'll cause some havoc or do something, but I think we all agree he's probably doing something to further setting up a match with Triple H at WrestleMania.
But isn't it a miss? So I'm glad Sami has worked his way in. I'm glad they gave us a storyline on Raw that involved fighting for the Rumble, making that spot feel important. But isn't it weird that Seth Rollins, I should say, is not going to be in the Rumble? Because in my mind, you set up the match with him and Triple H at Mania like they've been doing, and then you extend that a step further on Sunday night by having Triple H either eliminate or distract him when he's eliminated, and that sets up kind of the culminating battle in a couple of months.
I agree. It felt kind of weird that was where they're going, but they must have some kind of a story to explain it, so we just have to wait and see. But it is kind of strange because with the Rumble, it seems like a very easy way to make a feud, continue a feud, create a match, and they are choosing not to do it in this typical fashion that they do each and every year with some things. So we'll see exactly what story they're going to tell here. Also on Raw, at the end of the show, we got a woozy, bloody Bill Goldberg giving a promo where, as he did his march in the back, he headbutted the door, busted his head open, got to the ring, had to restart not once, but twice, as he's bleeding and sweating profusely and couldn't remember his promo. And then he finally was able to, you know, spit it out. And I know some people were making fun of him, and I get it. I don't think it was as bad as some people made out to be, but it was pretty bad, and he knew it too.
Yeah.
He was just like, all right, let me try this again. You're throwing me off here, people. So
he called it the Intercontinental Championship. And even when he repeated it, he didn't say the right thing. That he said that I forgot what it was, but he almost forgot to mention Roman Reigns or Kevin Owens or one of them. It was a real bizarre moment.
Because he was trying to say, like, I don't care if it's Roman Reigns or Kevin Owens. I'm going to face you for the Universal Championship at WrestleMania because I'm going to win the Rumble. And, yeah, he was having some trouble there. And he has since gone on, I think, Instagram or something and says, all right, so I think it's time to retire the headbutting the door because I was woozy out there and I couldn't remember my lines. So, but he got it out there.
He had that blood on his head that he could not see, right? He was standing there. This is not the first time he's busted his head open during his entrance. It happened one of the times before SummerSlam, I think. But he couldn't see this blood. And then he's standing there wiping the sweat as he just is a sweaty man beast out there.
Right.
Wiping the sweat off his forehead, except he's just wiping blood all over his face. And it is just the most... It's surreal. It really was a surreal moment.
Well, that was the problem because he's sweating so much. And the cut really wasn't that big, but between the little bit of bleeding and the sweating, it was going all over. And it's funny because, so like, you know, at one point, Lesnar comes out. And I think it was, as Lesnar was coming out, they caught this shot of Goldberg, like, tossing a rag or a tissue back out in the crowd. And I think his wife like threw him a handkerchief or something so he could wipe himself off real quickly. And if you catch it, like he's throwing something back out in the crowd and it's a white rag and then he's not bleeding. And I'm like, okay, I know what's going on there. He finally got something to, you know, wipe off his face. So, you know, Lesnar comes out there, they're standing there face to face and then lights go out, lights come back on, Undertaker standing there once again. Looks like he's got sunburn on half his chest. And so they have this scene of the three of them, and that's how they end Raw, which was very effective. You know, you got these three huge names, and they're all standing there face to face. The three part-timers that are dominating Raw, that I'm sure that's going to make some people flip out. But, that's the way they ended Raw. And I mean, hey, when it comes to the Rumble, it's all about big names. It's all about who's going to win. And there's a lot of intrigue in this year because I don't think anybody really has a good idea of who's going to win the Rumble. And these are three guys that you could see winning it. So it made sense that the three of them would end the show.
And it was a pretty cool moment. We rag on them, as we should, because they're all part-timers. And they appear on about one, two, three pay-per-views a year. But... you know, seeing the three of them in the same ring was a pretty neat moment. It's not something you expect, and it was a fantastic way to motivate fans to watch the Rumble on Sunday. I think there's plenty of reasons. Slash, I also think their tagline for the Rumble, "Remember the Rumble," is a terrible tagline. But either way, it was a good way to say, hey, these guys are in the Rumble. You need to tune in because this could possibly happen on Sunday, and they could possibly duke it out. No, was it Bill Goldberg's finest moment? He's had much better promos since coming back. Did Undertaker look great? He did not look that great. But all that being said, the prospect of seeing them in the Rumble this Sunday makes this one of the most interesting Rumbles in years, I think.
I think so, too. You know, so I get it. It's all about star power. So it made sense for the three of them to be there in the end. I think the other notable thing that happened this week was the SmackDown promo between John Cena and AJ Styles. So AJ comes out there and he's going after Shane McMahon a little bit for not showing him any respect. He mentions the Royal Rumble poster. And basically John Cena is right in the front. You can see all of John Cena. And then in this mass of WWE stars, there's AJ like near the back and all you can see is his head. And he's just like, why am I not in the front? And he went after Shane a little bit about that. And then he did his promo just talking about, I'm unbeatable, I'm unstoppable. You know, and at this point, Cena has come down to the ring and he just says, hey, you know what? I'm going to beat you. I'm the guy on SmackDown now. You've had your time. And what got people going, or some people, is that the entire time Cena stood there, bit of a smug look on his face, told Styles stop crying about the poster. And he said that Styles is not his level or the level below him. And he says, when he fails to make it in WWE, he'll blame it on Cena because he buried him. He said that he did not put time in on the indie scene because he wasn't built for the indie scene. He was built for WWE and big moments like the Royal Rumble. And he said Styles only had the championship because he let him have it.
Wow. Yep. 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 It was quite a segment, to say the least.
Well, here's the thing that I would say for people that get bent out of shape, okay? This is John Cena's character. And does he get you talking about it? Does he get you wondering, like, how much of that is for real? How much of that is scripted? You know, that remains to be seen. But we've seen this from John before. And people will complain about, we don't want to see funny Cena. And I totally agree with that. There are times when that's okay.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about big main event, you know, matches, storylines, you don't want to see too much of funny John. You want to see serious John. And when he is serious, he is at the top of his game.
Right.
And that's what you got here. You got a flawless, straightforward John Cena promo that cut to the point, that got you talking about it, and him putting down his opponent and saying, hey, this is the way it's going to be. You're living in my world, and I'm taking back the title.
The thing about it is, from either perspective, right? So we as fans of wrestling who are more, you know, we'll say more seasoned fans, like AJ Styles, right? We're fans. We've seen him on the indies. We followed his career. We want to see him in this spot, and we know that the underlying storyline is that AJ Styles has always been overlooked for bigger guys. So when we see John Cena cut the scathing promo on AJ Styles, we see it as John Cena being the bully. However, if you're a casual WWE fan and John Cena is your guy, as there still are a large number of John Cena fans out there, this was just John Cena standing up for his company and his spot, and not him cutting down AJ Styles in this really personal way. So it works on both levels. But like you said, we have for so long, John Cena to be more serious. And he's doing that now. We can't say, well, that was too much because we like AJ Styles. I think that kind of grit is what John Cena needs. I think especially if he's going to be part-time, or him just coming out being funny John Cena is going to do him no favors. So that promo might have been a little bit close to home, but that's perfect. It makes this match more interesting. It makes it feel more personal. And I think it's the direction John Cena's character needs to go, especially if he's going to be on a part-time basis. I don't think he's going to be a heel John Cena, but I do think this edgier John Cena is a good middle ground for him at this point.
I agree. You know, and if it was anybody else that had given that promo, I don't think we'd be talking about it. Or right. Some people would be talking about it. In that way, because there are some people, and what I'm saying, I'm just talking about fans, you know, on the internet, diehard passionate fans, that were complaining about it, saying, oh, John's just burying him. I'm like, no, he's getting people talking about a big match, and that's his character, because John will put down other people, you know, and stand up for himself in the strongest of manners when it comes to a big match, and especially somebody like AJ, because AJ is a guy that's been ruling the roost lately, and Cena's had opportunities to beat him and hasn't been able to do it so far. That's the story.
Yep. Yep. And I think it works. I think that was a great segment.
I do too. You know, I thought it worked out really good. So let's get into the Rumble. So there's a lot of intrigue in this year. Like we said, there's just a, nobody really knows or has a firm grasp on who we think is really going to win. There's a lot of different directions that they could go here and then later go on to WrestleMania. There's a lot of rumor and innuendo going on. So let's dive into some of this. So every year there's always surprises. There are names being floated out there. Maybe they could be on the show. We already kind of excluded Kenny Omega from being on there. What surprises would you expect to see at the Rumble?
Triple H is a possibility.
Yes.
I think maybe that's the direction you go, is Triple H shows up and Seth Rollins eliminates him, which is weird because he's been stalking Seth Rollins, but still, it's a possibility. Samoa Joe is pretty high on my list right now as the NXT call-up that appears at the Rumble. Who else?
Balor is the other name that's being talked about a lot, because Finn was in Birmingham, Alabama this week, according to PW Insider. And he was getting checked out and seeing if he's cleared.
Okay.
Which would be really early.
Yeah.
For him, considering, I'm not saying it's impossible, because we've seen guys come back from injuries early. Mm-hmm. But the belief was that he was not going to be cleared until March.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and he's not John Cena. He's not a superhumanoid, you can say.
Right. So it remains to be seen. I mean, hey, there could be some red herrings, or even if he is in Alabama being checked out, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be at the Rumble.
Right.
But I guess there is more of a belief that no matter what, even if he's not the Rumble, he will be at WrestleMania.
Gotcha. That's good to hear, I think.
Yeah.
I also believe we might potentially see Kurt Angle. That's my other big one that I've kind of held back, is Kurt Angle could make an appearance now that we have him back under the WWE umbrella to do something. Maybe get eliminated fairly quickly, but
who knows? Angle, when I got, it might have been set up, who knows, but he spoke with TMZ and he said, I will not be in the Rumble. And I tend to believe that. I don't think Kurt's going to be in the Rumble. Now, Ty Dillinger could be in the Rumble.
As number 10.
As number 10, which, by the way, if it's not Ty, it's got to be The Miz or a heel, right?
What do you mean? Number 10?
Yeah, number 10, because there's going to be a lot of people expecting Ty Dillinger. Oh, yeah, so if it's not, don't you have to have somebody like The Miz or like a really snarky heel?
Yes, so kind of embrace that because fans will be so disappointed. Yes, I agree.
Oh, what are they going to do? I mean, well, Roman Reigns isn't in the Rumble, but can you imagine if it was Roman?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my Lord.
I guess the other... Let's see. The other people that I would think about were, do you think Shinsuke Nakamura?
No.
Do you think Bobby Roode?
At this point, I'm pretty convinced. I know we're going to do NXT predictions later. I don't think Bobby Roode either.
I don't think so either.
I think if you get Joe, the thing about it is if you get Samoa Joe to come in, he is your internet fan darling from NXT who gets called up to fill that spot. You don't need two of those in the Rumble.
Yeah, when it comes to Nakamura, unless he's getting called up to the main roster, I would not do it. And I think there's a better chance of Joe. But, I mean, I want to see Nakamura there. I don't think we're going to see him on the main roster until after Mania.
I agree.
But... And it's, you know, Triple H did this media conference call today, and he said it's not a matter of if, but when Nakamura gets called up. And he flat out said, like, hey, you know what? He had to go through NXT because there were some adjustments we needed him to do. And that's exactly what he did. You know, he said, like, hey, you know what? We needed him to get used to some things here, and that's why he didn't go straight to the main roster. And now we feel like he's done enough to where... you'd be comfortable being on the main roster. Say what you will about that statement. But, you know, Triple H said the guy's ready. It's just a matter of when. So be on the lookout for Nakamura. But I still think it's going to be a couple of months away.
I agree.
Do you think there's going to be a female in the Royal Rumble?
I had that thought. I guess... you could put a female in the Royal Rumble, but does that make sense at this point?
I don't know. I mean, to me, if you were going to do a female, the one that would make sense would be Charlotte.
Right.
But I don't think they're going to do that, especially because she already has a match earlier in the show.
Right. And they did it with China back in the day. They've done it with a few other females here and there, too, haven't they? I'm trying to remember back. I know they did it with Charlotte, I mean, with China back in the day, but she was a competitor in the men's division for a while. Had that feud with Jeff Jarrett, had that feud with Chris Jericho, so it kind of made sense.
They had Beth Phoenix in it one time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and then they also, who else was it they had in it? Lita was in it one time, too, wasn't she?
No. It was, why can't I think of her name now?
Let's see.
She was in TNA for a long time.
History of female entrance in Royal Rumble matches. This will help us.
Please look it up.
Have you mentioned?
Why can't I think of her? Yes, Karma. Thank you.
That's right. Karma was in it.
Karma was in it. Couldn't think of her name for some reason. But I don't think we're going to see a female this year.
I don't either.
I just can't see it. I think the ones I feel the best about are if Balor is healthy, Joe would be the one I would really go with. I think Ty. Do you think any of the guys from the UK tournament? Because they're going to be there.
Oh, are they? Ooh, I didn't know that.
Some of the guys from the UK tournament let's put it this way, are expected to be there. They got pulled from some shows overseas. So we believe
Kevin Dunn's going to be in the Royal Rumble,
or Pete Dunn, which is his real name.
You know, Pete Dunn could be there too. Kevin Dunn's a famous actor, dude. That guy's been in a lot of stuff. He can be in the Rumble too. It all works out.
So we'll see if they're going to be there. I don't know what else I'm going to do.
You're like, nah, shut up, Wiseman.
I know, dude. Kevin Dunn was at a hotel with us one year when we went to SummerSlam. He was like walking through the lobby.
Not Kevin Dunn, the actor. Kevin Dunn, the wrestling person.
Right. And I came so close to like walking up to him and introducing myself. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to do it. Like, he doesn't know me. And he was with somebody else too at the time. So, there's a belief that maybe Pete Dunne and like Tyler Bate could be there. Mm. Maybe Mark Andrews or somebody else.
Pete Dunne would be great. I mean, Pete is ready for a WWE run. That tournament showed me that.
You're right. And like Tyler Bate, he's small, but I mean, he's only 19 and he's incredibly good.
Right.
I mean, Drew Galloway, even in the interview that I did with him that you could check out, Drew was talking about how he faced Tyler a year ago when he was only 18 and was like blown away at how good he was already.
Wow.
So
that's impressive.
So yeah, there's some opportunities for some different guys.
And what about legends? What kind of legends are you expecting? I mentioned Kurt Angle, but I mean, every year
we expect Kevin. We got to get a legend.
Every year is Kevin Nash, right?
You know, some people are wondering about Flair. Could Ric Flair be in it?
No.
He could, but I don't. I wouldn't do that.
What would you say about Cactus Jack?
No.
You think that
he's way too banged up.
You think that blurs the lines too much? Cactus Jack coming out, it'd be fun.
He's too hurt. He can't take a bump over the top rope.
Really? Is Foley that bad off?
Oh, but he needs hip replacement surgery.
And that's disappointing.
Yeah, it stinks, but I'm trying to think who else could Christian do it?
That would be a fun one since they are talking about him. Potentially, rumors have him, you know, potentially being in the Hall of Fame at some point in the near future. Yes.
Maybe that's something to look out for. I can't.
Could Shane McMahon do it?
Shane could. I mean, and they teased it during Talking Smack, and he blew it off.
Yeah.
So maybe he would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what other legend. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. Like, what other legend? Even though he is really old. Would you be okay with Terry Funk being in it?
I'm always okay with an appearance by Terry Funk, all right? That man could still whip my ass, so, you know, it's all good.
Who would you rather see, Terry Funk or Ric Flair?
Ric Flair. I mean, no offense to Terry Funk, and I get it, because Terry Funk is definitely your era of wrestling, but Ric Flair is the nature boy. He's the one and only.
Right.
There's nothing else you could do better than that. Hulk Hogan. Why are we not thinking about Hulk Hogan? Of course, Hulk Hogan could be in the Rumble this year. In fact, he could win it and set up his final championship run.
He ain't winning it, I tell you that, if he's in it. That'd be a heck of a way to reintroduce him to the WWE.
Uh-huh.
Put him in the Rumble.
You heard it first.
Hey, I'm still of the belief that he is going to be at the WrestleMania.
Of course he is. Dude, listen, this is, I got the whole thing booked out in my head, all right? So here's what you have. You have Hulk Hogan come out. He's a real American. And then you have Gawker Media come out to its own set of music. And we set up, right? Hulk Hogan beat him in the courtroom. Gawker Media fires back. And they have a dream match at WrestleMania.
Who's representing Gawker Media? Is it AJ DeLario?
Yes, it's just literally AJ DeLario. Oh, that poor guy.
Does it come out to Hail to the Chief, or what does it come out to?
Oh my gosh. This got real quick, didn't
it? So, okay, let's get to some of the scenarios that we think. Like, you mentioned, like, you know, what Seth Rollins could do. Maybe Triple H could be in there. You know, Jericho is going to be in this, but Kevin Owens is not. Obviously, Owens is involved in the match earlier in the night with Roman Reigns. Do you think that Owens and Jericho could somehow get into it in the Rumble? Like, Jericho screws up trying to help Owens earlier in the night, so Owens goes after him in the Rumble?
Yeah, so I don't know. I became a little bit more convinced of the possibility of a Jericho win after watching this week's Raw. A Jericho win in the Rumble, because the no DQ stipulation takes a little bit away from the potential of a mishmash of Jericho interfering inadvertently. I think Jericho has the potential to win it. I don't think they set up an actual feud between the two until after the Rumble. I think we set the groundwork. We've already been setting the groundwork, but I think it's like propelled by a Jericho win in the Rumble.
I agree with you. I don't think they're going to do anything there necessarily. I think Braun Strowman's going to have a big impact.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to win, but I think he's going to have an impact. I think Goldberg and Lesnar will have a moment, but maybe they eliminate each other. They do something, because I don't think either of them is going to win. They could. I could see a scenario where one of them wins it, but they don't need the championship to set up their match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Trying to think what other scenarios could there be of different guys. Taker obviously is going to have a big impact on this thing too. Who do you think is going to be in the final four?
Of the Rumble? Ooh.
I threw this out the other day. It was like a half serious, half joke, just to see if I get a rise out of people. But I said final four would be Taker, Lesnar, Goldberg, Strowman.
No.
It'd be the four biggest guys in the company. Well, outside of Big Show.
Oh, my God. What if it was, let me just fix that for you. Taker, Goldberg, Lesnar, and Roman Reigns. And you said
Roman's not in the match.
Well, he could be. There is nothing to stop him from being in the match once he loses to Kevin Owens. And so you put Roman Reigns in there to set up some beef with him and one of those three guys.
Do you think there's a scenario where whoever just loses in the championship matches could be in the Rumble?
Yes, I do. Roman Reigns.
You want to see Roman Reigns win the Rumble again?
Yes, that's my dream in life. Well, nothing more. I think Final Four, Goldberg and Lesnar are there. I'm not convinced by Braun, and I'm not convinced by Taker.
Yeah. I guess it just goes down to who you think is going to win the Rumble.
Uh-huh. I think number 17 is going to win the Rumble.
That's because you had that in our pool. But
19 is my other number. I think
I do have number 3. I feel that's the number I feel the best about is number 3.
That's a good one.
Hey, Ric Flair won out of that position, okay?
Uh-huh. He won the championship out of that position.
Damn right he did, man. And he let loose the most remembered epic promo in Royal Rumble history after he won that championship.
Right.
The infamous with a tear in my eye promo, where 2/3 of the way through it, Mean Gene stole the scene from Ric Flair, Bobby the Brain Heenan, and Mr. Perfect when he's getting ready to talk to them and continue the promo. And he looks off screen and goes, "Put that cigarette out," to somebody off screen, like out of nowhere. Just this fantastic moment from Mean Gene. Yeah, I mean, when it comes to who's going to win, I mean, and this is what I like about the Rumble list. There's just so many different ideas that they could have. So Taker, I think, is a very serious guy that you have to look at. I would really like it if they wanted to make an impact with the guy, if they debuted Samoa Joe and he won it. I don't think that will happen, but I could see it happening. I mean, it would instantly put him in a high position.
I don't believe that they have the confidence in Samoa Joe yet to give him that win. I think he's still got to win some people over on the main roster or behind the scenes by being on the main roster for a little bit. So I don't think their goal is to introduce him to the casual WWE audience and give him that win yet. I think they are afraid it would be confusing.
Well, the thing is, too, that you're asking for a lot because, yes, we know who Samoa Joe is. And there's a lot of people that do. But when you're talking about your main WWE audience, most of them do not. Right. Maybe they've heard the name. Maybe they've seen bits and pieces, but they do not. And you're asking a lot on debuting a guy at the Royal Rumble and then 3 months later having him in a massive match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But that being said, I could see a scenario where John Cena won the championship and Samoa Joe won the Rumble.
Ooh, I like your booking. I see a more likely scenario. I'm going to throw this one at you. I see a scenario where John Cena wins the Rumble after losing his championship match, right? He's proven that he's the best. He didn't win the match, but he goes up there, wins the Rumble. Samoa Joe wins the championship at Elimination Chamber next month.
And you could see that because they are doing the Elimination Chamber, so there's going to be six people in that match.
Yep. You give him a chance to build up Samoa Joe as a legitimate threat by building on his history with AJ Styles.
Right. So Goldberg and Lesnar, I think, could win the Rumble. I do not think it's going to happen. I think Braun Strowman could win the Rumble. I don't think it's going to happen. Taker could win the Rumble. I see that happening. I see there being a good chance of that happening.
Yes.
If Samoa Joe debuts, I could definitely see that. Jericho, I could still kind of see. Mm-hmm. It's kind of this outside threat. Now, Triple H did do an interview with somebody the other day, and I apologize. I'd credit them. I think it was Fox Sports. But he had said, hey, you never know when it comes to the Rumble, especially this year. It's wide open. And you could see somebody out of left field, which, you know, kind of made me think about it for a minute, like that could happen. So one of the rumors that is out there right now is that maybe Randy Orton would win the Royal Rumble.
Okay. And do what with it?
Well, obviously he would, you know, face the champion at Mania. So to tag on to this rumor, Bray Wyatt would win the championship at the Elimination Chamber and Randy and Bray would face each other for the title at Mania. Now, I think they're going to face each other at Mania.
Yes.
I don't necessarily know that it's going to be for the title. And if it is, I think it's kind of out of left field. And to me, the match makes sense of those guys facing each other. Does it make sense with one of them being the champion on there? I think it's being rushed into something like that, if that's the direction they go.
Here's the thing about it, right? I totally agree. Orton versus Bray Wyatt makes sense at the Rumble. It is a way to build upon this months-long story they've been having. However, that is not a championship-level feud at this point, right? We talk about which feuds need the belt, which feuds don't. That is not a championship-level feud. So putting the belt on them, I believe, lowers the prestige of that title. Now, on the other hand, would I love to see Bray Wyatt win that championship? Hell yes. That man is a hard worker. He's been doing some really cool stuff over the course of his career in WWE. And, you know, let's give him something. Let's give him the big prize. Why not? But I don't think their feud should be the championship feud. I think you could, however, make Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg a championship feud. It's a big match. It is two big men. It is a rematch of some of Survivor Series and a rematch of WrestleMania from a decade ago. But I don't think they're going to go that direction. I think you want to have, I believe, Brock Lesnar versus Bill Goldberg go on last and close the show, I think it needs to have the title. And I think that's the direction I would skew towards. You want to give me my top five for the Rumble? If I had to have betting odds, I would say Taker is probably still my top pick. I would bring in Chris Jericho close behind him. I would say Bill Goldberg right behind him, and Brock Lesnar is my number four. John Cena is my number five.
If you do that scenario with Goldberg and Lesnar, now how is whoever doesn't win the Rumble going to become champion between now and Mania?
Elimination Chamber.
They're not in Elimination Chamber. That's a SmackDown brand show.
It doesn't mean there's. Have they ever come out and said that one of those guys is not is Raw only?
Well, it's basically understood that way. Same with like Taker now. So Taker is over on Raw because he's the belief is that he is going to be facing somebody from the Raw brand at Mania.
Okay.
So Taker, Cena out the door. In fact, the prevailing thought now is it's going to be The Undertaker versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
So does Raw have a pay-per-view? Which, by the way, that's a terrible choice.
Fastlane.
They have Fastlane, right? So why could you not set up Kevin Owens?
Brock Lesnar is not going to be on that show, but Goldberg will be.
Okay. So why could you not set up? So here's what happens, right? Brock Lesnar.
Lesnar's not on that show.
Yes. So what if Bill Goldberg gets eliminated by Lesnar at the Rumble, right? Lesnar gets his revenge. So Bill Goldberg goes on to fight Kevin Owens for the title at Fastlane, wins the championship, defends it against Brock Lesnar at Mania and their rematch. Lesnar gets his win and the championship back.
But here's the thing. I mean, that feud does not need a championship.
It doesn't.
It's just one of these, I'm the bull of the woods kind of guys, you know, kind of feud. And it doesn't. Now,
I get it, but
I expect that match to close out WrestleMania, though.
But here's my thing about it, Brian. John Cena versus The Rock did not necessarily need the championship either that second go-round. They wanted to one-up the first time, which is why they did it. But putting the championship on the line in that match did try to spotlight it and give it some bigger stakes than just, here, they're fighting for a second or third time.
I know, but I don't think that they are going to go that direction with the championship. Like I said, I think Taker has a very good chance of winning it, because if they do Taker against Roman, I think that means Roman wins the belt and Taker challenges him. Samoa Joe makes a lot of sense if they want to go that route. I think they could introduce Joe, and then you could still do Joe and Cena.
Yeah.
So here's the belief on a lot of different WrestleMania matches, okay? As we stand right now, and who knows if any of this is true or not. So Goldberg, Brock Lesnar, we feel really good about that. We have for a while. And the thinking is that's going to close the show. Mm-hmm. Championship matches. John Cena will probably be champion, if we had to guess, okay? Let's just go with this theory of these matches. Cena, find an opponent for him. I'm not exactly sure who right now. Maybe Samoa Joe. On the Raw side, Taker against Roman Reigns. You still get Jericho versus Owens, probably for the U.S. Championship. Seth Rollins against Triple H. You're still getting your Shaq versus Big Show. And then AJ Styles against Shane McMahon. And then you get women's championship matches on both brands, maybe a three-way or even a four-way on Raw. And on SmackDown, my guess would be Alexa Bliss against Nikki Bella. Okay. Maybe Becky Lynch gets thrown in there. I don't know. I think they would do Becky against Mickey, but that might even be something that they do prior to WrestleMania, or maybe that's a match that they do on the pre-show of WrestleMania. You have your tag team championship matches as well for Mania. So to me, I think that's where they're looking.
Okay.
If that is where they go, okay, some of those matches to me just do not make sense, because they've been building like in a certain direction where you see little crumbs along the way. Even some of it is just an outcry by fans publicly. I mean, when you've got John Cena in the ring and people are chanting Undertaker for him,
right?
It makes a lot of sense to go that direction.
Yep.
And they really seem to be veering from that. Now, I don't know exactly what they would do with Roman if he's not the champion. Or maybe they could do a three-way. It would be Roman and Owens and Jericho. But the way that this is going to be, you're going to have championship matches that are not in the main event. I mean, Taker and Roman would be pretty high up there. I don't think the other championship match would be that high. And you'd have kind of this eclectic lineup of matches right now, because you'd be putting some emphasis like on if they did Orton versus Wyatt, and that's for the championship, that's got to be pretty high up there, which it would, but you know, now for the title, I don't know. It feels like this kind of weird mix instead of going in a certain direction that they've had right now. And just gives you a weird feeling. Now, like I said, all of this is just rumor and innuendo. I still think, to me, you know, Taker and Cena, whether it's Taker's last match or not, makes a lot of sense. People have been clamoring for this. You don't know how many matches Taker has left. And I don't think you want to miss out on an opportunity to please fans like you did with Taker and Sting.
Does it ever feel like that Vince McMahon just makes decisions based on if fans are predicting something? Like, the fans are basically saying, yes, we think it will be Taker Cena at WrestleMania, and that's what we want. And Vince McMahon's like, well, no, I don't think so. If the fans are saying it, it's not going to happen, right? Doesn't it?
I don't think he does it from that standpoint of, well, if the fans want it, we're not going to give it to them. I think he does it from, I believe this is going to be a bigger match. But here's the other thing, too. I'm always a big believer of put your talent in the best position to succeed, whether that means, you know, some of these early call-ups, like Braun Strowman was way too early. I think Nia Jax was too early. Baron Corbin has done well, you know, and I was a little skeptical of that, but he's done really well. Apollo Crews, I mean, you're talking about talented people, but, you know, they rushed them to get brought up, okay? Especially in the case of Braun. Mm-hmm. Now, Braun's doing a good job. But still, you're putting guys in tough positions. If you go with Taker against Roman, and that is going to probably be very high on the card, you are putting them, especially Roman, in a very tough position.
Yep.
Because the crowd is going to react in a way that is going to be quite harsh and quite vociferous.
Yep, and you're doing it against one of the greatest legends of all time, and I don't think you're doing Roman Reigns any favors.
Well, because see, here's the thing. Okay, so Taker, we already know, is going to be somewhat, he's going to be limited no matter who he faces. So that tells me you need to do one of two things. He needs to be in there with somebody that can take a lot of bumps and can move really fast and make him look good. Or he needs to be in there with another legend, mm-hmm, where you can do a lot of get the crowd involved off of facial expressions, and you can do a slower paced match, kind of like what they did with Rock and Hulk Hogan back at WrestleMania 17.
So what you're saying is when Hulk Hogan comes out, he should eliminate The Undertaker, setting up their dream match feud at WrestleMania.
Sure, why not?
Uh-huh.
They're going to put, if they do that match though, Taker and Roman, that's going to be rough. That's going to be rough, I think.
It's here's the thing about it. Okay, so we didn't touch on this. A lot of wrestlers have come out recently and said that Roman Reigns is really good in the ring, right? So we don't know why the fans, right? The Roman Reigns, we all know Roman Reigns is good in the ring. Some people still deny it, but for the most part, Reigns has shown an incredible amount of athleticism. He's got a good look. The reason fans don't like him is not because they think he's a poor wrestler. It's because they don't like him being shoved down their throat as though we're supposed to just blindly accept him as the next big thing. So by putting him in the match with Taker and presumably having him go over as yet another attempt to make Roman Reigns the next big thing, fans are just going to hate him even more. It's, you can't keep pressing the same button, hitting the same notes, and expecting fans to get over it. It doesn't work that way.
Do you think that we will get a major turn of a character at, whether it's the Rumble or leading into WrestleMania or at WrestleMania? And the two guys I'll point out, Roman Reigns and John Cena.
John Cena is a potential. I do not think it's going to happen with Roman Reigns. I wish they would. I think they've been building it with John Cena. Here's what I would love to see. In Wiseman Fantasy Booking Camp, right? Maybe we don't get John Cena versus Taker. Maybe we don't get Roman Reigns versus Taker. Maybe we get Roman Reigns versus John Cena. Okay. And then what you set up, I know I'm going
They're on two different brands. Let me just point that
out. That's okay. Mania is a cross-promotional brand, right? That is, you are exactly right. It could happen. However we set this up, maybe it happens after the Rumble. Maybe we do it after the brand extension. You set it up by teasing John Cena with this heel turn and by shocking the world with a Roman Reigns heel turn in a match between the two. Done. Booked it.
I mean, I know that they're having a match at the Rumble. I still would not be against Cena and AJ Styles having another match at Mania.
Yeah. Yeah. Cap the feud off in the on the biggest stage of them all.
Because you could set something up from a standpoint of Cena saying, hey, you know what? This is my last opportunity. I want to be the champion again. They could find a way to get to that match. Mm-hmm. I mean, hell, you could even do the scenario where Cena is so bummed out losing the match against Styles that he finds a way to get into the Rumble, even if he has to take somebody else out and take their spot, right?
Right.
And he gets into the Rumble and he wins the Rumble and say, hey, I was desperate. My goal is to beat AJ Styles. My goal is to tie the record for being, you know, for championships. And desperate times call for desperate measures. And I went out there and I got myself in the Rumble and I won the Rumble. And now I'm going to get another opportunity at Mania.
Yeah.
And Styles can moan and groan about it, saying, I own you and I got to do this again. And you could build it up. You could do that. Then they're going to have a really great match. But instead, they've already started the foundation for AJ Styles against Shane McMahon. And Shane is a guy at this time that I don't want to see him out in the ring anymore, especially like what we saw at Survivor Series. There's just too many big bumps. It's getting a bit scary for him. And it was one thing when he was younger and he was either stiffing guys or missing by a mile with his punches. He's always been a guy that's, you know, had huge guts. And sometimes he can have a good match, and he definitely is a daredevil. You can't fault him for effort, but with injuries and at this point in his life and everything, I really do not want to see Shane McMahon in the ring anymore.
I agree. I don't think you, no offense to Shane, I don't think you waste a talent like AJ Styles in that match.
But I think that's the direction that they are going right now. I'd rather see AJ in a higher profile match.
I agree.
And whether that's against Cena, whether that's against, I don't know, even Samoa Joe, I would probably rather see, you know. So, and by the way, we mentioned Finn Balor possibly coming back, if not for the Rumble, but for Mania. I don't know where he fits.
Yeah, that is a tricky one.
Where does he fit?
And where do guys like The Miz and Dolph Ziggler fit into this whole equation as well?
Ladder match for the IC title.
Doesn't it feel like we're overusing the ladder match gimmick at this point, though? We already are going to have come July Money in the Bank, and then we have TLC every December.
Well, they've done this before, but the thing is, it feels like it's the same people in it. All right. So we've got guys to fill out some matches. So Dolph Ziggler, Dean Ambrose, Miz, come on down. You're in the ladder match. Who else can we put in it? Oh, okay, Baron Corbin, you're available. Yep, we'll put you in there. Kalisto, you're available. Yep, we'll put you in there.
Right.
We don't have Kane for the big guy. It's Baron Corbin this year. We need a high flyer, so that's why we got Kalisto. And, you know, they're going to do stuff like that. I mean, and it just feels like been there, done that, but here we go again. You know, I'm not saying that they won't have a good match. It's just rather repetitive. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see where they go. I think people want to see some fresh blood, you know, on these shows to some extent. And they want to see dream matchups. They want to see stuff that's already been building towards things. And I don't know. I don't have a firm grasp of where they're going right now when it comes to WrestleMania.
I think that's good, though. So here's what's going to happen.
It definitely gets you talking about it, you know, at least. So, I mean, and who knows what it's going to be.
I love the open-ended nature of WrestleMania season right now. I think that's exciting. I think they have laid some good groundwork for feuds coming into the season, some potentially good payoffs culminating at Mania. I think Orton and Wyatt are a great example of that. You mentioned Styles and Cena. And we have a few other ones, Kevin Owens, Chris Jericho. So I think they have set up some pieces on the checkerboard this year. The question is, are they going to execute in a way that makes sense at this point? And I'm worried we're going to get down here to the last 30 yards and we're going to intercept, throw an interception. Right, we're going to be in the red zone here. How many sports analogies can I use tonight? And it's going to end up not being what we want. And that's going to result in a subpar show. Now, we have had in years past shows that on paper did not look that great. It ended up being solid, if not really good shows. I just am not convinced that we're going to pull everything out of the hat like we have in years past.
Yeah, I mean, it just, like I said before, it just seems weird the way that some of this might be coming together and kind of we feel like we've got a pretty good idea about it and that it's like, let's take a left turn and go over here. Not just to, not to swerve people, but we feel like this is what's going to be the bigger matches. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's the case. You know, maybe I'm looking at it from too much of a perspective on somebody that follows us very closely and not from just the average fan.
Yeah.
But it is WrestleMania. WrestleMania is always a big event. And we'll see exactly what happens. Let's quickly run down TakeOver and the Rumble with all the matches, okay?
All right.
So, NXT TakeOver, there's five matches that are listed for the show right now. Roderick Strong against Andrade Almas.
Mm-hmm. I think you want to go first. I think Strong. Yeah. I think Strong wins that match.
I agree. I think Roderick Strong.
I think he needs to.
Eric Young against Ty Dillinger.
It makes the most sense here to put Ty over. He's the guy that's got some heat behind or some momentum behind him. So put the younger gun over here.
I disagree. I think Eric Young's going to win.
Okay.
Asuka, Nikki Cross, Billie Kay, Peyton Royce, Fatal 4-Way for the Women's Championship.
Asuka all day, air day.
I will agree with you, but I think there's a chance that Nikki Cross wins.
Okay. Are you, what makes you believe that?
Because I think they're doing something with Sanity and it's a way to get the title off Asuka without her losing. Mm. Without her being pinned. Mm-hmm. So actually, that's what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Nikki Cross, which totally goes against my predictions column from earlier in the year where I said Asuka would remain in NXT and be champion all year. So
And I think Asuka, so here's my potential prediction. I think Asuka remains champion until TakeOver the night before Mania, when she loses it so she can debut the night after Mania on Raw or the Tuesday night on SmackDown.
That's a scenario I see for Nakamura. Mm. We'll get to him in a second. So DIY against the Authors of Pain for the tag team titles.
DIY.
I think Authors of Pain are going to win.
I think you're going to be in some pain when my prediction comes correct. So,
and then Nakamura versus Bobby Roode for the NXT Championship.
Bobby Roode, and it will be glorious.
Nakamura wins. They rematch it. Take over WrestleMania weekend. Bobby Roode wins the championship there.
Why would they rematch and then he would still get a rematch if he loses it there?
They could set up a rematch. They've done that before.
Eh. My prediction is going to be right.
Well, we'll see. You always say that and then you're wrong, so we'll see.
And you can follow me for all my wrong predictions on Twitter. I am at The Real Wiseman.
Yeah, so, okay, let's run down the Royal Rumble real quick, okay? So, by the way, for the Rumble, 2-hour pre-show, and it's a 4-hour show. So, 6 hours total.
Okay.
Holy moly.
Wait, 6 hours total. Holy cow. Okay.
Yeah. So, pre-show, they've announced 3 matches. Cesaro and Sheamus versus Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson for the Raw Tag Team titles, and 2 referees will be assigned to the match.
Okay. You go first on these predictions.
I will say Cesaro and Sheamus retain.
Yeah. Nope. I don't think so.
Oh, so you're going the club?
I think the club. Yep.
Singles match, Sasha Banks against Nia Jax. I'm going to say, Sasha's got the injury, so it makes sense for Nia to go over, and that's the excuse. Yeah, I'll go Nia. Yep,
Nia, that's my prediction as well.
Just to make everybody bitch and moan.
She's in need of a big win, too, so.
And then they are doing a six-woman tag team match, Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, Naomi against Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, and Natalya. I'm going to say the heel team wins.
Yes. Nope, I'm going with the face team. I was going to say,
you were just about to have three heels win.
Yep.
All a clean sweep at the pre-show.
Yep, I think the faces win the last pre-show match going into the main card to make sure you have subscribed at $9.99.
Okay, so Cruiserweight Championship match, Rich Swann versus Neville. This could actually steal the show, quite frankly.
Who wins, we all lose because nobody gives a crap about the Cruiserweights. Not saying their match is going to be poor. But
isn't it too bad they don't? I mean, so we did this conference call today with Triple H, and I asked him about the Cruiserweight division. And I asked him, so the reception to the Cruiserweights on Raw has not been that great so far. What are your perceptions so far of the Cruiserweight division, including Raw and 205 Live? And he flat out said, hey, it's a work in progress. He goes, we got to give them time. We're still introducing guys. He goes, I think 205 Live is a lot better of a representation of what we want to do with the division. But obviously, they're getting more exposure by being on Raw. But he said, hey, it's a work in progress. It's not where they want to be. And they've got their work cut out for them. And it's true. They do. Now, the one positive thing that they have done as of late is they have added Neville and made him into a strong character.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Akira Tozawa is expected to debut this coming week. I don't know when Grand Metalik is going to debut, but they've got some more people that they are going to add that division. But they've got to give them more time, I think, and they've got to kind of unleash the guys to me, and really say, go out there and have these blowaway matches. Because that's what we assume we're going to get with Cruiserweights. That's why they work so well in WCW. That's why the Cruiserweight Classic works so well. And I've said it time and time again, we're still waiting for these blowaway matches. Now, there was a really good match on 205 Live last night, Tuesday night, between Cedric Alexander and Neville. But those have been few and far between since the Cruiserweight tournament.
Right.
And I want to see more of that. But all that being said, I think Neville's going to win the championship here.
I think so, too.
They're doing Charlotte against Bayley for the women's championship. I say Charlotte.
Yep, Charlotte.
Keeps her pay-per-view streak alive. They are doing Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. No DQ match. Chris Jericho will be a sexy pinata suspended in a shark cage over the ring.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people are leaning Roman Reigns these days.
Mm-hmm.
And I will predict Roman.
Kevin Owens.
You just like going against the grain, don't you?
Sometimes it just makes my life a little more exciting.
Sure. And then the WWE Championship, AJ Styles versus John Cena. I think AJ should win this match, but I'm going to say Johnny Boots and Tights gets it.
I agree. John Cena walks out your new WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
No matter who wins the championship here, do you believe that that person will be champion going into WrestleMania?
Between John Cena and AJ Styles? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, no matter who it is. Yeah, do you think neither Styles or Cena will be champion come WrestleMania?
I think one of the two will be champion come WrestleMania.
So that means they would not only win this match, but they would also win the Elimination Chamber match.
I think the Chamber is a dangerous match to have the month before Mania because you're right. It leaves it so unpredictable, but you screw up so much booking by hot potatoing that title. You would have to have, let's say AJ Styles wins and he loses it next month. It just takes away so much from his run to have him lose it a month before Mania in a match like that. So, yes, I think whoever wins here and wins at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, I just have this feeling that the title is going to change at Elimination Chamber. And by the way, with Elimination Chamber being SmackDown brand, including the championship, obviously, that makes me fully believe that somebody that is on Raw is winning the Rumble.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, Like I said before, though, there are some rumors that maybe Randy Orton would win the Rumble. That just seems like there's a lot going on for SmackDown then and not that much for Raw.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know, Brian. I don't know. I think who are you predicting as your final prediction? You have to bet all your money in your life on one person for the Rumble. Who would it be?
It'd be Undertaker.
Taker. Yep. Taker.
That's the person I feel most comfortable with right now, but
yep.
I don't feel comfortable about any of it. I mean, it'll be fun. It's gonna be fun to watch. You know, unless Braun Strowman wins. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I like Braun. I think they've done well with him. I don't think he should win the Rumble.
I agree.
I mean, mind you, it wasn't that long ago we were kind of thinking like Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship come WrestleMania.
I would take that over a Roman Reigns versus Taker.
I would like to see Reigns against Strowman, but for the U.S. Championship.
I would too.
That would have been the match I would have preferred to see. And then I liked your scenario of Jericho against Owens for the Universal Championship at that point.
Yep.
So, do you think we're going to see Bauer on the show?
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Like I said, I don't know where he fits at WrestleMania. I'm sure they'll figure it out. I want it to be something more than the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah, I know, right?
Where, I mean, that's got Braun Strowman's name written all over it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We left our biggest news of the week off. Of course, Brian, we forgot to talk about how Star Wars, just earlier in the week, announced their title of the new Star Wars movie, Episode 8, coming out this December to a theater or multiplex cinema near you. Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Now, here's the compelling question that I have off that title.
Uh-huh.
When they say The Last Jedi.
Yep.
Are they talking about one person or multiple?
Oh. Like, is Jedi plural or is it singular?
Right. Exactly.
I guess we'll find out in December.
Chew on that a little bit, huh?
Tune back in to our December 25th episode. We'll let you know.
Right. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Did you want to give any kind of Oscar predictions now that those came out? Or
I'm just disappointed Deadpool didn't get nominated, so, you know.
They were going to. They had a chance, I thought.
By the way, we actually went to the movies last weekend with the all intentions to see La La Land.
Mm.
And our theater is currently half under renovation. It's an 18 screen cinema and they had half of them shut down because they're adding in these nice big plush cushy reclining seats to all the theaters. And we ended up not being able to go see La La Land because it was sold out. So instead we went to see Split. Now,
how was that? I want to see that.
Do you? Okay. I'm not going to say too much about it.
Oh, you didn't like it.
No, it was good. I dug the hell out of it. And I dug the ending out of it, too. And it's not a traditional M. Night Shyamalan movie, so don't think, like, what the twist, right? But there is a fun surprise in that movie that I don't want to spoil for you. But it's a good movie.
Can I admit to something when it comes to the movies?
Yes.
I have seen Star Wars Rogue One time.
Uh-huh.
I have seen La La Land twice.
That's because Rogue One was just kind of... I was having this discussion with my wife earlier. I think about that movie in terms of feeling nothing for it. Like, it was a well-executed movie, Rogue One, but I have no emotional attachment.
It's a standalone that does not have that much effect on the ethos of Star Wars.
Yes. And it did not have the heart and spirit of Star Wars.
I mean, it made sense in the storyline and even where they left it. And I thought it was a good movie.
Yes.
But it's one of those, like, you already knew kind of the story into it. And they were just giving you the details on exactly how it all went down.
Right.
And, like, we didn't need those details before. It made sense as a standalone movie, you know. So, and now we're going to see what they're going to do in a couple of years here when we get this standalone on... you know, the background of Han Solo.
Right. And I just, yeah, that movie just missed the heart and spirit and adventure of the traditional Star Wars movie. So I hope that the Han Solo movie does, in some ways, bring that back.
Well, how about now that we know that Woody Harrelson is going to play a character that will be training or be some kind of a mentor to Han Solo.
It's the greatest thing of all time. I hope he brings over his character from the Hunger Games.
Yeah. You'll have the long hair.
Yep.
He just won't give a crap about anything, basically.
He'll be an alcoholic. Yep.
Yeah, basically. So thanks again to everybody for listening. We always appreciate it. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We love stars. So give us as many stars as you'd like. We appreciate that.
We at least 6 stars if you have them.
At least 6, 7, 8, you know, however many stars you want to give us, we will take all of it. Also, please support Between the Ropes on Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/Between the Ropes. Please support us there, whatever you feel comfortable with, whether it's $1 a month, $5 a month, or more. Any of that would be greatly appreciated in helping us keep doing what we are doing. You can also find the podcast on SoundCloud, we're on Stitcher. We are on TuneIn, and we are on the Google Play app as well. And you can follow me on Twitter. I am at Brian Fritz. Michael is at The Real Wiseman. And you can also follow Between the Ropes. It's at Between the Ropes. So we appreciate everybody for listening in. Thanks again. We will be back next week. We will talk to you right then, right here, Between the Ropes.